Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, please. We'll be reading this morning in chapter 1, verse 9, down through verse number 14. So when you find your place, let's stand and read God's holy word together. Notice some things here. Just ask some little simple questions and answer them this morning, and we'll go home. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reading of the Word of God this morning. We pray, Lord, that there be an unction from above, a touch from heaven. God, in our voice might, Lord, ring out for the glory of God. And Lord, our minds might comprehend the things that You're sending. And Lord, may we be receptive with an open heart to the things of God as You give them to us. And may we walk out of this building today different than we were when we came in, with a greater determination to live for You, to be more for You than we've ever been. God, may we say in our heart, it's been good to be in the Lord's house. By going home this evening, we'll give You the praise and the glory for what You're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to ask about three questions. Maybe I'll get to them in that way. And looking at the Scriptures, the Word of God, I pray it'll be a blessing to you. The first one we'll look at in verse number 14. Now, we're taking the last verse first, and we'll be working our way backwards. But it said in verse number 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Now, I want us to see what the Lord has done for us, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what He's done, but first I want to say how He's done what He's done for us. The Bible said in verse number 14, He's talking about the present. In whom, notice them two words, what are they? We have. Right now, that means right now we have what? Redemption. How do we have that redemption? Through His blood. Amen. And there's something added on. God put something extra on top of that. What else? He put it there, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Thank God for that this morning. I'm glad that we have been redeemed. In verse 14, we have right now what? Redemption. We have redemption. Thank God we've been redeemed. We've been bought back from the slave market of sin. We've been taken, amen, out of the darkness of sin and established and set free. Thank God for redemption. Everybody in this building ought to be rejoicing and shouting that we have redemption. Amen. Sometimes I don't think we know what we got. Amen. We're going to church, but we don't know what we got. We don't know why we go. We're here because we have redemption through His blood. Not through joining the church, not through works, not through organization, not through baptism, but we have it through His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption or remission of sin. Amen. There's no redemption in your life without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to back up a minute. We not only have this, but notice what verse 13 said. We got the past. Now somebody said, "I don't want to live in the past." It depends what part of it. Amen. We're not to look back to what the world was, and the Israelites got in trouble by looking back to what they had and wanted to go back to what they had, and they wanted to go back to the garlic and the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers of Egypt because they got tired of the weary and weary in the way. Some of you may be tired and weary in the way, but I hope you're not wanting to go back to Egypt. Amen. I don't want to go back to a lost condition. Do you? They forgot what the bondage was. They just got to thinking about the good things of the old life. Amen. You said any good things in the old life? Sure they are. Amen. That's the reason people are in sin this morning, because the Bible said that sin has its pleasures, the pleasures of sin. And Moses said, I don't want the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. He wanted to come out from that. And so thank God, I don't want to go back to that. But now look in verse number 13. The Bible said, who? Now let's go back first of all to verse 12. Let me back up one more. The Bible said, giving thanks unto the Father, which, what's that word next say? Have. Is that past? Yes, have. Amen, have. Talking about have. That means back yonder, past in this particular place. It can be a present, but this particular place, have. He hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God said, He hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in light. God said, I made you inheritance. I give you an inheritance. I made you, somebody's going to have an inheritance. We inherited something. Amen? Thank God for that. Now look at it. He said in verse number 13, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us. He hath made us what? Meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who, there's that word again, hath what? Delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You got that? Look at it. We're seeing three things that He's done for us. Let's look at them. First of all, He's given us an inheritance. I didn't have no inheritance left from my parents. They didn't have anything. Amen? But I got an inheritance. I got an inheritance. I got something on the other side. Praise God. Brother, I've got more on the other side than I've got here. You said, oh, I like what I got down here. Amen. I like some of the things that God's allowed me to have, but they're not mine. But I've got something better than that on the other side. Thank God for that this morning. Somebody said, I like all I got. I like my good car, I like my good house, I like my good clothes and all that. Hey, I'm not hanging around here for that. Thank God I'm a pilgrim passing through. I've got an inheritance that's out of this world. Something that this world knows nothing about. Thank God I've got an inheritance. He hath made us an inheritance. Or making us somebody that can inherit it. Thank God for that. He's made us meet to be part. Meet. Amen. Made us able. Made us put us in this. Listen, He gave it to you. You said, hey, God owed it to me. He didn't owe you nothing. Amen. Don't you ever think it that God owes you anything. He don't owe you anything. He don't owe you the breath you're breathing. He don't owe you a next meal. He don't owe you nothing. Amen. You owe Him everything. Thank God for that. So He has made us meet. And brother, we got an inheritance. Thank God for the saints in light. Not only just you, but all the rest. In verse number 13, who hath delivered, I like that word, delivered. Set us free. Took us out of it. Picked us up out of it. Took us out of the mire and the terribleness of sin. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. There's a time I did not know where I was going. That's what happens to people in darkness. They don't understand where they're going. They don't understand who they are. They don't know they're going to hell. They don't understand that. They're in darkness. The devil's got them under darkness. And they're sold under darkness and they're headed to hell. And they don't realize they're going to hell. But God said here in verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know why the drug addict stays on his drugs? You know why he can't get off of them? He's in the power, under the power of darkness. You know why the alcoholic can't get out from under his alcohol? Because under the power of darkness, that's got a power on him. The devil has got a stronghold on him. Amen. You said, well, that's them. Amen. Well, you've got all kinds of habits as a child of God you can't get out from under either. Amen. And you guess who's the instigator of that? It's not God. Amen. But God can take them out and away from you. That's not the message this morning. I just thought I'd throw it in. Come in the back door at you. But the Bible said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, took us out from under that power and brought us and set us free and put us, the Bible said, in the light. But now here He said the third thing, and hath translated. What's that mean? Translated. You know what you translate? When you translate English into Spanish or Spanish into English, you're changing the language. It's two different things, is it not? So God said this morning, here in the Word of God, He hath translated us. He's changed us. Made us something that we were not before. Made us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. We ought to act like it. Some of you act like you don't know where you're going this morning. I know everybody's kind of dull, drab, and dead. The weather must have something to do with you. get a little bit of fog and a little bit of rain, and here you are, just come dragging in. Most of you come dragging in, and most of you probably go dragging out. But I'm telling you, I'm glad this morning that I've been redeemed and set free by the grace of God. I've been delivered from the power of darkness, and God not only has done that, but He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm in a brand new kingdom. I'm a king's son. Thank God. I'm a somebody. Amen. Spiritually. I'm a nobody physically. I'm a nobody, amen, in the eyes of the world. Thank God I'm a somebody in the eyes of Jesus. Amen. Said, you're bragging on yourself? No, I'm bragging on Him. Bragging on Him. I was nothing before He found me. I'm nothing since He's got me. But He's everything to me, and He can make me a somebody. Thank God I'm a somebody. Amen. You said, all right, what are you getting at this right here? Here's where we're going to spend the rest of the time. Go back with me now, please. We'll see what He has done. He's done three things for us. He's given us an inheritance. He's made us and have delivered us from the power of darkness. And He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Three things He's done. How did He do it? He did it through His blood. And He's given us the forgiveness of sin. Washed away your sin. Took it away. Took it away. Amen. Took it away. Don't that mean nothing to you? Amen. He took your sin away. Amen. What was your sin going to do? What does the Bible say? The wages of sin is Amen. Death. So when He took your sin away, what did He take away from you? Death. No more dying. Amen. Amen. Wake up. Yeah. Amen. The fellow said, smell the coffee, all right? Now look in verse number 9. Look at 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled. Now, let me give you some things, and for the rest of the message, I'm going to give you some things that God wants to do for you. Some of you, He hadn't done it for yet. Some of you hadn't let Him do it. But let me give you some things He wants to do for you. Number one, He wants to fill you with the knowledge of His will. He wants to fill you with the knowledge of His will. For years and years and years, as a young preacher, I went from place to place, pastored here, pastored there, stay a little while, the devil get on my case, and the church get to raging a little bit, and I thought, boy, I might as well get out of the fight. Amen. The fire was going on and looked like everything going rough, and I put myself up and say, Lord, it's about time You moved me down the road somewhere. And a few times the Lord didn't move me, but I moved myself. Amen. Now, nobody but a preacher would understand that. Now, sometimes a preacher move on his own because he don't like his feet to be put in the fire. Amen. I moved and went somewhere, and then the next thing you know, the devil popped up and things got to going kind of rough there. And I said, it's time for me to go again. And I'd take off, and I'd stay a little while at one church, a little while at another church, and one day, I'd say, Lord, what is the will of God? I want Your will. And then the devil would go to raging. I said, Lord, I just want Your will. If Your will is down the road, I'll go down the road. And I tried to help the Lord put me wherever He wanted to put me. Amen. Now, you got that, didn't you? I tried to help the Lord put me where He wanted to put me. I helped Him out. In other words, I went where I wanted to go. And then I get there and I say, Lord, it's going rough. It's about time another pulpit committee come by. I put myself out there. Amen. And here it is. It gets rough. And then I sit on the porch one morning. And I said, Lord, what is the will of God for my life? I've told this many times here at this church. I'll tell it again this morning. And what I was sitting there before I went to work, I was looking at the Scripture. It said that God was not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And I realized for the first time in my life, and this is up years in my ministry, for the first time in my life, I recognized what the will of God is. I can tell you what the will of God is for your life this morning. I may not can tell you where. I may not can tell you how God's going to do it, but I can tell you what the will of God is for you. God's not willing that any should perish. That means God wants everybody saved. And God is in the business of trying to save souls. And your business, if you want to be in the will of God, is to try to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and just be a soul winner. If you'll just be a soul winner, you will be in the will of God. God will direct the rest of it. Quit worrying about where it's at. Quit worrying about how you're going to do it. Just get busy. Start winning souls. Amen. Some of you sit back here, you've never won one soul to the Lord Jesus. I ain't going to embarrass the majority of this church by making you raise your hand. How many of you ever won to God? I'm not going to do that. I can pretty well tell. Amen. And I don't want to embarrass you. But how come you haven't? Is it not the will of God that you win souls? He that winneth souls is wise. And the Bible teaches us that, hey, we're going to have souls for our labor. We'll get the other side. And we're going to stand either in the respect to those souls, and God's going to judge us and reward us for those souls, or we're going to have their blood dripping off our hands because we didn't win them to the Lord Jesus. And when I say win, I don't mean that you won't win everybody you talk to, but there's some you don't even try. Those are the ones you'll pay a price for. Now listen to me. So, if you want to do the will of God, you said, what do I do? Start winning souls. Start witnessing. Tell people about Jesus. It'll be a surprise to you, but God will open your eyes and put you where He wants you to do that. You may be just exactly where you need to be, but not doing what you ought to be doing. Go to doing what you ought to be doing, and God will put you where you need to do it at. Amen. That cleared it up for me years ago. I think I told you this. The missionary came to me and he said, "Preacher, I know where you're supposed to be." I'd say, "Lord," I'd say to him, "How about praying? Lord, show me where I'm supposed to be." And I'd say, "Lord, where am I supposed to be?" And that little missionary looked at me and he said, "I know where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be right where you are in that church pastor." I wasn't comfortable there. It wasn't where I felt like I needed to be for God. Amen. And then we talked a while, and in a few minutes he said, "How about praying that God show me what His will is for my life?" And then it dawned on me, if he didn't know the will of God for his, why in the world did he know the will of God for mine? Now, I don't know where the will of God is for you other than winning souls. But God will show you what to do and how to do that when you get willing to do what God wants you to do. Now, nobody here would argue me that God don't want you to win souls. If you're saved, God wants you to see others saved. He wants you to pray for others to be saved. He wants you to witness to others to be saved. Right? He wants you to study the Word of God so that you'll be equipped to show people the Lord Jesus. So God will give you this. What's He wanting to do to you this morning? Number one, God wants to make you able, and He wants to do that to, first of all, showing you what the knowledge of His will is. Number two, the second thing He wants you to do is verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. God wants you to walk worthy of Him. And God wants to make you walk worthy. By the way, this morning you said, "Preacher, I'm not worthy." And I'll say to you, "I'm not worthy." And you'll say, "Preacher, I don't feel like I'm worthy to do this." And I'll say to you, "I don't feel like I'm worthy to do what I'm doing." But God will make us walk worthy of Him. He's the only one on this earth that can help us. And of course, He's in heaven. And through the Spirit of God on this earth, He can show us how to walk worthy of Him. He's the only one that can clean your life up. Your mama's tried to make you right down through the years, has she not? Your daddy tried to tell you how to live right, has he not? Shame on him if he didn't. Amen. And you've tried to teach your children how to do right. Parents, you sure have. But you know there's only one in heaven that can do that and get by with it, and that's the Lord God Almighty, and He can make us walk worthy. You know what happens to your kids, don't you, when you tell them? You know what happens to kids when you tell them how to live right? They sull up and get mad at you. Amen. Well, you do the same thing when God does it. If you don't believe it, when the preacher gets up and tells you what you ought to clean up in your life and get rid of and get it behind you and get it under the blood, you get mad at the preacher. But God just wanted to try to make you walk worthy of Him. He wants you to walk a clean life. Would you believe this morning that God wants you to walk ugly? No. Do you believe God wants you to walk evil? Do you believe God wants you to walk wayward? Do you believe God wants you to walk godly and holy? Amen. Hey, we got it down pat. Well, why don't you let Him do it for you? He wants to make you holy. He wants to make you walk right. Make you walk the way He wants you to walk. Pleasing in the sight of God. And so God said here that He wants to do that. So first of all, He'll make you have the knowledge of His will. Number two, He'll make you walk worthy of the Lord. In other words, He'll clean your life up and get to the place where you'll be pleasing in His sight. Hey, do you want to walk that's pleasing in the sight of God? Or pleasing in the sight of mama, daddy, the church, or the preacher, or the community? I want to walk according to what God wants, don't you? Now let me give you this. I believe every one of you kids in here are listening to me. All you young folks are listening to you. God has put an agent over you as a mother, as a husband, and a wife is joined together as a mother and daddy, and they're your parents. And God has put them over authority in your life. And God holds them accountable. Children, let me tell you something. I believe you ought to honor your parents in the Lord. How about you kids amening me? Amen. God wants you kids to honor your father and your mother. He wants you to take care of them. He wants you to honor them. He wants you to love them. He wants you to respect them. Amen. I see so much disrespect to parents. I get out in these malls and different places and I see these kids telling their mamas and daddies what to do. And we're living in a society today it irritates me to hear a little junior or a little Sally tell mama what mama ought to be doing. I've even heard them say, shut up. I've even heard them tell them to be quiet and not listen. And you know what? Anything bothers me to tell a young'un something, and they go. When I see a kid, you ever seen a kid? You know, you just shrug your old shoulders, pay mom and daddy no attention. I don't do it. I don't do it, but I sure would just like to step on them. I would. I ought to shake them up. I know it ain't good. It ain't good practice. You just don't know what I would like to do. And I see you shrug your shoulders. Amen. I'd like to have a one-sided conversation like my daddy had with me. I don't remember ever shrugging my shoulders to my daddy. I know better. I mean, I didn't even look out in another world. Like I was in a daze, like some kids did. I looked him straight in the eye. I wasn't listening. But I sure wasn't letting him think I wasn't. He had such a radar about him, he could pick up when I wasn't listening anyhow. Amen. You think mom and daddy don't know all? Listen, kids, I don't know why I got off on this, but it's good for you. Honor your father and your mother. Amen. You said, well, I mean, I get out from under that old man and that old woman, and I won't have to listen to them no more. No, but you'll have an old man or an old woman you're married to. And they'll tell you. Now, boy, some of these men didn't even amen that one. Amen. I'm telling you. But God, He wants us to walk worthy. The third thing He wants to do to us in our lives in verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being number 3, fruitful in every good work. Amen. Being fruitful in every good work. You see that? Fruitful in every good work. God wants you to produce fruit. Amen. Now, how about this? You're going to be a farmer. Maybe you're going to be a husbandman, and that don't mean having 2 or 3 wives. That means you're going to have a vineyard. You put the grapes out there. And you go to a lot of trouble tilling the land and getting the grapevines out there. And you got all the work going into it. And it's a big job. And then you watch them bloom. You'd spray them for bugs and everything else. And then at the end of the season, when you should be getting grapes, there's no grapes. You might scratch your head and say, I must not have done something wrong, and you check it out. And the next year you put them out there, guess what? No grapes. You're going to go bankrupt soon. Amen. Something's going to happen. You're going to be out of the grape business in just a few days. You said, I think I'll try apples. So you put you out some apple trees. And then at the end of the season, they've bloomed and everything else. But there's no apples. Well, you say, I go to the peaches, and you have a peach tree, and it has no peaches. Now, that's what God is having to put up with in our churches. We're growing in His vineyard, taking the nutrients from God, being blessed from above, being touched by the hand of God, but we're producing no fruit. You think God's going to tolerate that? You think He's going to bless that? No, sir. So what happens? God wants us this morning to produce some fruit. And God said, being fruitful, this is what God's will is. And this is what God wants to do in your heart. This is what God will do if you'll let Him do it. Most of us will not be fruitful because we will not let Him do it. We won't let Him have everything at His hand. We won't give Him all our resources to be fruitful. Happy-go-lucky. I just go to church and read my Bible when I go to church. Pray when I get in trouble. When I get a financial crisis, I'll pray. When I got a family crisis, I'll pray. When I got a personal crisis, I'll pray. We got a worldly problem, I'll pray. But otherwise, I ain't got time. Getting quiet. That's what's happening to us. We don't pray. So how are we going to find the will of God? How are we going to produce fruit? How are we going to be fruitful in every... He said, in how many good works? Every good work. Anything you're going to do good, God said you'll be fruitful in it. Have you ever seen these people? Now, this is a little different story. But I've heard people say, well, he was born with a silver spoon. His mouth, everything he touched turned into money. Have you heard people say that? You've probably said it a half a dozen, maybe more than a half a dozen times in your life. And you feel a little jealousy toward that. But God says in the Word of God, what I'll do is I'll make you fruitful in every good work. Whatever you do, in every good work that you do, God said, I'll make you fruitful in it. I've seen people try to teach Sunday school, never accomplish anything with it. Seen people try to sing, never accomplish anything with it. Whatever you do, every good work, God said He'd make you fruitful in it. But you've got to allow Him to do that. You can't put the limits on God. He wants to show you, and we could take these in order. I'm not going to look at it that way this morning. I don't have time for it, but we can go back and look at it in the order. God's got His own order for this. He don't give you all this and then save you. He saves you and then gives it to you. And then He just, after you get saved, He just don't dump it on you. You've got to present yourself to Him. Let Him take you, all of you. All right. Then number 4, verse number 10. Last part of the verse said, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Did you know it's amazing how ignorant this country is on God? You can ask people Bible questions. They ought to be, why... Kids ought to answer Sunday school questions to young kids. Ask the adults in this country, they can't answer them. There's people who don't have enough knowledge of God. The Bible teaches us He'll increase us in the knowledge of God, knowing about God. You want to know more about God? Let Him teach you. Amen. What is that old saying? Some of you heard it before. Isn't it something like this? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. That applies in the Baptist church like I've never seen it before. I've been here before you got here, preacher. You can't teach me nothing. You can't teach me nothing. What it is, you're like the hound dog under the porch. Throw him a biscuit. And if it didn't land where his mouth could reach it, he wouldn't eat it. He'd just lay there. Amen. And somebody, that way, we throw you something out there and you just,
Yeah, that's all right. Amen. You think sometimes God trying to send you something to the pulpit to kind of show you the preacher knows something. No, God's trying to give the man of God something to help you with. God's trying to get you to increase in the knowledge of God. God wants you to know more about Him. Me and my wife met each other. And she fell in love and I fell in love. I reckon I did. Don't want to ever... I figured I'd get her attention. No, I love her with all my heart. But we fell in love and I didn't want to be away from her. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, I want to know more about this girl. Now, 47 years, I know a pretty good bit about her. But I wouldn't have learned more about her if I'd have been down the road. I've been with her for 47 years. I know her now. And some of y'all trying to know about God, and you just haphazardly every once in a while give Him recognition. You want to pick up something from Him. Amen? God said He'd increase us in the knowledge of God. Let's go on. Verse number 11. Something else He'll do. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. God said, I'm not going to do that, but I'll strengthen you with all might. You know why some of us are not strong? What does Ephesians chapter 6 say? Be strong in the Lord. Find them, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know why some of you fall apart when things happen? Because you're not strong. God said, I'll make you strong in the Lord. Shout in the choir, sing in the choir, praise God all the time, but just let a little something happen and we fall all to pieces. God said, I'll make you strong. I'll strengthen you. Notice how it said, with all might. He'll make us powerful. He'll make us spiritual Samsons. Physically, Samson could not be taken down. In other words, he was one of the strongest men we find in the Word of God. Maybe there's some others in there, but he's one of them. Understand? He failed. But God said, I can make you like Samson spiritually. I'd rather be spiritually strong than to be physically strong. Because when you're spiritually strong, you've got God on your side. When you're physically strong, the world wants to be on your side. But I want God on my side. And God is how He said, I'll make you strong. God said, I'll do this for you. Now, the way God does it is you present yourself to Him. He just don't sprinkle it down like pepper and salt. God makes you strong in the Lord after you've surrendered everything to Him. Now, I dare say this morning, I dare say this. Listen, there's a lot of us in here that have not yet given Him everything. How do you get everything from God? By giving Him everything from you. In abundance, God gives when we give ourselves entirely, totally to Him. Do you want to know more about God? In the knowledge? Do you want to be in the will of God? Do you want to be strong in the Lord? Do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to walk right? Now notice that. God wants you spiritually right. He wants you to walk in right. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be strong. And He wants you to have knowledge of Him. He said, I'll give it to you. But it's up to you to get it. He's not going to dump it on you just because He's God. You've got to meet the qualifications. Now remember, He saved you already. I'm talking to believers now. He saved you already. You're born again. He wants to give you all this. You know what? Well, we're just weak. This may sound like a tongue tangler. We're weak wimps in the Lord. That's what we are. We're wimps when it comes to serving God. And it's high time we got strong in the Lord. Amen. It's up to you. Heads bowed. God's given us a promise of what He'd do for us. You said it's up to God. No, it ain't. It's up to you. He can give you this morning. Part of that He may already give you. He can give you the rest of it. I found out most of God's people don't want to live the abundance of God. They want to live in the shadows of God. They don't want out in the straight limelight, the sunlight of God's grace. They want to live in the shadows. They don't want the fullness, the abundance of God. They want just little portions. We just want what we want when we want it. Amen. Let's stand. What's the song? 307 this morning in the Red Book.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.